From the heartland of America to the heart of the world, this is In Vision with Will Bowen. Sit back, relax, take a deep breath, and let it pour over you. Now, here's Will.
Thank you very much, Dan Murphy. Welcome to another episode of In Vision Radio. I'm Will Bowen. It's nice to have you here. Have you noticed that it seems like some mornings you get out of bed and everything just is wonderful and everything's great? You kind of glide through the day. And then some days you get up in the morning and everything seems to be a challenge. There seems to be a struggle or a difficulty and you just can't get your head in the game. Well, I have found a shortcut to getting your head in the game, and that is playing a song that you consider to be your anthem, your rallying cry. Think about it. Colleges have anthems, countries have anthems, states have anthems. A lot of times even companies will have an anthem that is their song. Couples have relationship songs that are their song. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about what is your song. Before we get into that, though, I want to share with you a To You Love God that I wrote. To you, from the moment you enter this world until you exit, you are writing a story. A story in which you are either the hero or the victim. Situations occur that would be the launching point for great discovery and success to a hero, whereas the same experiences might be the catalyst for despair and defeat to a victim. When you read a book or watch a movie, what matters is not the situations that occur, but the main character and how he or she chooses to deal with them. Victims allow circumstances to determine their life. Heroes make life determine their circumstances. You are, even now, writing a story titled Today. It will either be a triumph or a tragedy, not based on what happens, but what you choose to do with what happens. And remember, you were cast in this role because you are a star. Love God. In the 1970s, there flourished a very popular brand of psychology called narrative psychology, which basically talked about how human beings live nothing but stories. Everything in our life is a story that we tell ourselves. Our relationship is a story. Our relationship with other people is a story we tell ourselves. Our relationship with ourselves is a story we tell ourselves. Our relationship with God is a story we tell ourselves. The thing is, whatever story we tell ourselves, we then project that belief out into the world, and then the world reflects it back. So in other words, if you have a story that you tell yourself that you're unlovable and that you're unworthy, then the universe is going to reflect that back to you. I can tell you that was an issue for me for many, many years, and sometimes I still have to be aware of that. Because I was raised to believe that to feel good about yourself or to feel strong about yourself or to feel confident, that was arrogant. There was something wrong with that. My mother used to say that one of the most terrible things she could say about somebody was, oh, that person loves themselves, like you are not supposed to love yourself. It's a story. Whatever story you tell yourself, the world is going to live out, and then you get to be the main character. The question is, are you a hero or are you a victim? And it all starts with beginning to change your stories. It starts with beginning to look at things that happen in your life. I was talking with a man recently, and he was talking about some things that had happened several years ago. And he kept saying, this person did this to me, and this person did that to me, and this person did that. And I said, so you're telling me that they irreparably harmed you and you're not happy with where you are right now? And he said, no, actually, I'm very happy with where I am right now. I said, so then they didn't do anything to you. They did a great many things for you. And he agreed. Consider the things that are going on in your life. Consider the places where you tell yourself you're a victim. And instead, tell yourself that the things are not happening to you. They're happening for you. They're happening to make you stronger. They're happening to make you more resolute. They're happening to make you more determined. They're all gifts. Speaking of gifts, we are going to be talking to Dr. Denny Lofstrom in the first segment of the program. Dr. Lofstrom is the founder of International Health Partners Tanzania. He is also one of the happiest people I've ever met. I interview him in my book, Happy Stories, and I'll be sharing his story as well as an interview with him in just a few moments. Then coming up in the Namaste Lounge today, we're going to be talking about and sharing anthems. Consider what is your theme song, and we're going to be having some fun with that. So stay with us. Be sure and subscribe to these podcasts and tell your friends about them. And send me a little bit of feedback. You can reach me on Facebook at A Complaint Free World, Twitter, W.R. Bowen, and you can email me, good old-fashioned email, will@willbowen.com. Stay with us. We're going to have a lot of fun. Up next, Dr. Denny Lofstrom.
International Health Partners has completed three major projects in Tanzania. Now our project is to build the first pediatric hospital there. 18 million children in Tanzania under age 14 have no pediatric hospital to serve them. At Zinga, on the coast north of Dar es Salaam, we have begun by starting the outpatient unit. We invite you to help. Visit our website, ihptz.org. Find out who we are and what we do, and contribute by clicking on Just Give, or call 480-540-9317 and make a credit card donation. Your money will help build the first pediatric facility, and care for children under 5 years old will be free. You'll receive information on how each dollar was spent, pictures of what's going on at the facility, and we do not sell our donors' names and addresses to anyone. So go online now to ihptz.org. It's an act of love and caring, and it will help to change the world, one child at a time.
Welcome back to Envision. I'm Will Bowen. In my new book, Happy Stories, I interview 50 of the happiest people that I know, looking for common threads for happiness and also to discern their own particular guidance or suggestions on how we can be as happy as they are. The person that I'm going to share with you today is a truly amazing man. I've known him for a number of years, and I'm going to begin by sharing with you his story. This is titled Happy on Purpose. He's 5'1", but you'd never think of him as short. He's 84, but it would never occur to you to describe him as old. He walks with a cane, but you'd never label him as frail. He's 18 years past the average retirement age in the United States, yet he shows no signs of slowing down. In fact, he's revving up. Retirement? Dr. Denny Lofstrom scoffed when I mentioned the word. I'm not into retirement. I'm into refirement. When I asked Dr. Denny Lofstrom, Dr. Denny to his friends, if he considers himself to be a happy person, he answered with a confident and resolute, absolutely. Happy people believe they are happy. This is one of the secrets to happiness. No one who believes him or herself to actually be unhappy is ever happy. Happiness is a mindset, and as all of the people we will meet and share their stories with us in this series agree, happiness is an inside job. When you first meet Dr. Denny, it's an enormous, clear, blue-eyed, and broad smile that catches your attention, and more than that, draws you in. He exudes warmth, compassion, and his offset grin seems to say that he knows the punchline to some great cosmic joke. He's the biological father to 11 children, and the honorary father to hundreds. I've always wanted to help people, he told me. I can remember when I was 13 going to a youth conference in Moline, Illinois, being held at a Lutheran seminary. As part of the program, American doctors who had chosen to serve in Africa were invited to share their experiences. He talks of this event 72 and a half years ago as if it were last night. They were so happy, you know. I could see it in their eyes. These doctors were happy, and I wanted to be happy like them, he said eagerly. He was barely a teenager, And he knew not only his life's purpose, but that following his purpose would bring him happiness. Well, this is great for Denny, but what about most people or a lot of people who really don't know what they want to be, not only at the age of 13, but at the age of 50? Well, Denny shares three ways to figure out what it is that you're meant to do in this life that's going to bring you the greatest fulfillment and happiness. Well, in just a few minutes, we're going to talk about those three things, but I wanted to welcome here with me today Dr. Denny Lofstrom, whose story it is my honor to tell in Happy Stories. Denny, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And you have here with you your assistant, your bride. Introduce who is with you.
Right. Paula is here, and she's our traveling companion.
Your traveling companion. Hello, Paula.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you?
I'm quite well, thank you.
Now, you guys, if I understand, are here in the United States, and you travel around, and you are visiting churches predominantly, mm-hmm. and speaking on behalf of the work you're doing to elicit both financial as well as physical support to actually go over there and help you build the hospitals. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Correct. Yeah.
Now, you're building a facility in near Dar es Salaam, is that right?
Right, down at Zynga, which is just north of Dar es Salaam, and on one of the main bus lines that go out from the city.
And this is going to be a large 41 and a half acres, if I recall, is that right?
Correctly, correct. The campus is on that 41 acres, and it has 29 buildings.
Wow. And you designed it yourself?
Yes, it's a collaborative design, actually, everybody. But we mainly are looking at patient flow and making it as efficient as possible.
Wonderful. Paulo, you were telling me the other day that you were driving and it was so cold your door froze and you couldn't close the door. Is that right?
Yeah, the door handle broke when we were encased in ice in Mount Vernon, Illinois. And so we just drove.
Oh, my gosh. Now, this is not atypical for you, though. I mean, this is, you guys are on the road constantly,
yes.
Staying in inexpensive hotels, as I
yes.
talk about in the story, looking to stay as cheaply as you can,
yes.
all so you can raise money to build mm-hmm. these hospitals in Tanzania.
Correct.
Wow. And so what is this like for you? I mean, is this just now the normal for you just to do this?
Not really normal this year, because we came back in 2012 in October and end of September, and we've been in the States now for a full year plus another 2 months. And so we've been traveling the whole United States this time and parts of Canada and up to Alaska. So this has been a long-term fundraising trip. Actually, how many miles?
We put 36,600 miles on the van.
36,600 miles on the van this year.
Mm-hmm.
All going around, talking to people about what it is that you do to raise mm-hmm. money to help build the hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's wonderful. Any particular stories you want to share on your travels this year? Anything stand out in your mind other than the door handle freezing?
How about the Alaska experience?
Well, going to Alaska was amazing. We did fly.
Okay, good.
We flew from Vancouver, BC, mm-hmm. up to Alaska, and we met amazing people. We presented at a hospital there and then met some marvelous people, and they took us to their homestead, and we met more marvelous people. You know, God just puts us in front of the people that are ready to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And we just show up for work, essentially. And you asked me if it's the normal for us. Yes, mm-hmm. this is the job.
Mm-hmm.
This is what gets the hospital built. We talk to service clubs, mm-hmm. Rotary, different
individual groups of from 5 to 25, actually.
Yeah. In people's homes, and then churches, meetings, anybody that'll listen.
And all of your work is supported entirely by donations. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
You know, you and I really, we met years ago through your son, David, and mm-hmm. we actually became close when I went to Tanzania with you all to do this.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the most amazing experience of my life. My daughter still says that was the most amazing experience of her life, to leave this culture and to be there. And we're sitting here trying to, my job was to put up like chicken wire so that the concrete could be poured into the walls. Right. And we were constantly running out of supplies and things. And I know that, what do you call them, containers had come over, cargo containers with new stuff. And Denny was like a kid at Christmas going through looking at these things. But there was, you just don't go down to Home Depot or Lowe's when you're in Mwanza, Tanzania, right, to get something.
No.
And so what amazes me is not only what you do in going around and raising the money, but actually going over there and dealing with all the frustrations and the challenges. Is, as you often told us, TIT, this is Tanzania. Mm-hmm. We're so used to hearing what it's like in America. One of the things that, Danny, you said to me that I actually wrote as a supplement to my second book, Complaint-Free Relationships, and that was this idea of saying poli sana. When people say something, that is a Swahili term, poli sana. What does it mean, Danny?
There's no real good translation of that into English. It's a term of empathy. If you feel good about something, you say poli. And if you feel bad about something, you say poli.
Mm.
So that it can mean what the inflection of the voice says it should mean.
And it also, from what I understand, means, whereas here, if something bad were to happen to you, I'd say, I'm sorry. But there they say poli, which means basically, I see that this is a situation you're going through, and I know you have the resources to go through it. Is that right. fairly
well,
accurate?
I feel your feelings.
I feel your feelings.
Yeah, I understand your feelings. And sana is just like very or more so.
Right.
So poli sana is, oh, I really feel for you.
Right.
But, you know, if someone stubs their toe, you say, I'm sorry. Well, it's not your fault.
Right.
But poli says, oh, you stubbed your toe, and I empathize with your having stubbed your toe.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
I think it's wonderful. Go ahead, Denny, please.
And even over here, if you sneeze, we say Gesundheit or...
Right.
Or yeah, bless you.
And over there, we say poli.
Really? Okay, so it's also a response when someone sneezes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, I think it's amazing because so often people will come to us with their issues and their problems, and then we take them on. Oh, you're upset, you're having, children are especially good at this with their parents. They'll bring a situation to us, and then we're like, oh, I'm sorry, and let me fix it. And I love this Swahili aspect or this Swahili approach of saying, poli. It's your situation. I really get that that's difficult, but it's not good for you if I pick you up and fix it for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot of wonderful things on that trip. Thank you so much for what you're doing in the world. It's absolutely amazing to see people who are willing to dedicate their lives to make the world a better place. A lot of people talk about it. A lot of people say someday I'll, and a lot of people say when somebody else does. But you two make it happen, and I truly admire that. And I've shared with you that I'll be 54 coming up, and my goal is to raise enough money to build an entire hospital with you guys in Tanzania by my 60th birthday. So if you are listening right now, I invite you to be one of the contributors to do that. And I do that regularly. I contribute to this organization. To what address or how would people go about making a donation to your work?
International Health Partners, 1811 South 39th Street, number 36, and that number 36 is very important, Mesa, M-E-S-A, Arizona, 85206. That's IHP, International Health Partners, 1811 South 39th Street, number 36, Mesa, Arizona, 85206.
And your web address is ihptz.org, correct?
That's correct. www.ihptz.org, and you can donate right on the website.
Which is how I tend to do it.
Asante sana.
Oh,
thank you very
much.
My
pleasure.
Mesa is where our treasure lives, and that's why we have the address in Arizona.
In Mesa.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, you'll be returning to Dar es Salaam next summer? Is that your current plan?
In May. I think we'll go in May.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wonderful.
It's been a long haul to not be home.
Yeah.
But good. I mean, think of all the marvelous people we've met in all of these months. And the hospital is going up. The walls are going up on the outpatient unit. As soon as we have $45,000, we can put the roof on it.
Okay. And that gives us a goal to shoot for.
Yes. And then it's just the finishing. We need solar on the roofs. Mm-hmm. Every roof, it's about $15,000, the solar for each roof, because we're not on the national grid, which is just as well.
Unreliable.
I was going to say, when I was there, I would go into your home to use the internet, and the it was down as much as it was up, the power was. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So we're putting solar on every roof. We are now doing some investigations into using wind as well. And then
we're building at the present time is the outpatient unit of the Children's Hospital. And that's 10 rooms for examining rooms and for four restrooms. And when we get that finished, which we hope will be sometime in the next 2 months or so, we'll open the doors to that. And so we will be seeing patients, hopefully, at that time. And have students, as we always have, medical students, residents, fellows, and they'll coming out to help us with that opening.
Well, you bring up an important point, and that is that although you are a doctor and you are a nurse, mm-hmm. you don't do all the medical care yourself. You're in the process of construction. So in addition to soliciting the money and soliciting the help, you also solicit the American medical professionals who go over and care for these people.
Well, not only American, but last year,
we had 115 medical students and volunteers mm-hmm. from 13 different countries.
Wow. Tell me a story of somebody whose life has been changed by the work you're doing there, some of your students. I know there are so many, but tell me of
the students themselves.
No, tell me of a child or something like that.
Well, there's, there's so many. I would say Monica, probably. Yeah. Her mother noticed a knot on her neck when she was 2 months old. Care for children in Tanzania is supposed to be free. However, the surgeon wanted $100 to do the surgery, and the family...
Now, a well-paid person in Tanzania makes about $30 a month.
$20.
Okay, so you're looking at 5 months from a well-paid person.
Yeah.
Income, just to have the surgery.
Well, that depends on where they are in the country. That varies.
But approximately, we're not talking about something, $100 there is not $100 here.
No.
Yeah.
And so the tumor grew and was huge. And we have a special fund called our Special Needs Fund. Mm-hmm. And so when we have cases of anyone, but of course now especially children, that need more care than we are capable of giving, then we can refer them, like down to Dar es Salaam, to Ocean Road Cancer Hospital, where she could get the treatment that she needed. Mm-hmm. And it only cost us $350. This child that was supposed to, they predicted that she would be dead in 6 to 8 weeks, but because she got the radiation therapy at Ocean Road, she's now 8 years old and the femme fatale to beat them all. And you cannot see any trace of the cancer at all.
Now, I see your hand moving. Was it a large tumor? Is that what you're wanting to
indicate? It was as big as a balloon.
As big as a balloon on a 6 or 7-year-old?
She was 16 months old.
Well,
the tumor was almost as big as her head.
Yeah, the tumor was equally as
growing out from the side of her neck. Yeah.
And so really, without the work you're doing, that...
Oh, she would have died.
She would have died.
And there are so many cases like that.
IHPTZ.org. If nothing else, go online and look at the pictures, and it is touching. And you can sign up and take a group of people over there. In fact, I was talking to a woman yesterday. She said her dream is to go to Africa, and I was telling her all about you and how we had done that. So I wanted to talk to Denny because you are here because you are one of the 50 happiest people I have found. And people ask me, you know, where did you find all these people? I knew some of them. I knew Denny, and it was always amazing amazing to me that Denny always seemed to maintain his equanimity, even when things were challenging when we were there building. So, Denny, you had shared that you were fortunate enough to know what your path in life was going to be as a very young man. Most of us, of course, are lucky if we ever figure that out. But you shared three ways of people discerning what is their path, the first being nuances. Can you share more with that, please?
Well, yeah, actually, the nuances that we talk about are the your conscience telling you what to do or that you should do, gets you thinking about what you should do and starts you in the right direction. And then as time goes on, or at least for us and for me, the coincidences that occur, doors that open and some doors that are even closed that guide you on your way to this one purpose that you have.
So let's talk about the nuances first a little bit more. So, in other words, a person has sort of a subtle hankering. In other words, for myself, I've talked about the fact that when I was a child, all I wanted to do was be on the radio. That would be one of those nuances. Is that what you're saying, that I sort of notice?
Right. And by intuition, you understand that this is either what you want to do or what God wants you to do as a purpose in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I would say is the same thing.
Yes.
Ideally, we come in here with this programming, and I was listening to Stephen King's book on writing, a narration, and he says that everybody wants to be a great writer, and he says unless you were born to be a great writer, you'll never be a great writer. You can be a very good writer, but he feels that we're all born to be something. The nuances are what is letting us know what it is we're born to be, just like with you going to this youth conference. Then later on, we see coincidences, and those are reinforcements externally. Is that right? Things start happening in our lives?
Right. Actually, the first coincidence, of course, was that I was with a youth group, a church youth group, and they sent a delegate from each youth group to this conference in Moline, Illinois, at the seminary. And I happened to be one that was appointed. So that was a first coincidence that opened up the direction also.
Now then, after so we have the nuances. That's that kind of the hankering and the feeling. And then we have the external experiences, and those are the coincidences. And if we ignore the coincidences, what happens?
Well, what really happens then is that I tell the story about the farmer that was going along a back road and with his wood cart and the donkey pulling it, and he came to a bridge, and the bridge stopped the donkey. He wouldn't go across the bridge. So the farmer got out and he took the 2x4 out of his wood cart, and he was hitting the donkey over the rump to make him go across the bridge. And a lady happened to drive along that same road, and she stopped and told him, "Mister, that is not legal. You cannot beat that animal. That's against the law." And he said, "Shucks, ma'am, I'm not beating that animal." He says, "I'm not abusing it. I'm just trying to get its attention." So that was the cosmic 2x4 that is sometimes used to get you to go the correct direction.
And we talk in your story about cosmic 2x4s, things that change. So
right.
if you're looking to experience something in your life or to discover who you are, the first thing is to see what your nuances are, discover what it is you like, and then begin to look at external coincidences that draw you to it or that allow you to express it. But if you don't, you're being a lazy ass, and you're going to get a cosmic 2x4 across your
right.
rope. Is that what I'm hearing?
Another.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Denny, you as well as everybody, almost everybody that I spoke to for this book, said that one of the most important things we can do to become a happier person is to help other people.
Right.
Do you feel that that's one of the reasons you're so happy, is you just literally spend your life trying to help other people on the other side of the world?
I think that's probably true, that anybody that is helpful for other people, that they're a happier person. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Paula, would you add to that?
I think it's I asked my mother once, what's happy? My mother was a psychologist. And she said, first of all, Paula, it's not ha, 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 ha. And it's not even being, I can't remember, that it's not just doing what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than being satisfied. It's living a life that matters. That's the basis of happiness.
Happiness is living a life that matters.
And so it you want it to make a difference, mm-hmm. that you lived at all.
Yeah. It's interesting. I once read that depression is a feeling of replaceability. Mm-hmm. So in other words, you don't matter. That is, when a person is depressed, they literally feel like they don't matter. They're totally replaceable. And you're talking about happiness is living a life that matters.
That matters.
And having a feeling. So that's a good question.
And
that's
making
something
a difference.
For my audience to ponder. Yeah. Are you feeling like you're on purpose and you're making a difference?
Making a difference.
And if not, it's never too late. It's never. Denny, how old are you now?
85.
85.
Almost 86.
And you are drawing hospitals and traveling around the country with frozen doors that you're having to hold closed because the door is too cold on the driver's side?
Right.
Well, listen, friends, do check out IHPTZ.org. That's International Health Partners Tanzania.org. Make a donation. Look at the pictures. It's a small thing that you can do. It's going to help an awful lot of people. Thank you all for being here with us today.
Thank you so much, Will.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you both.
Sante sana.
What's the best vitamin for happiness? Find out on page 31. How can you overcome the biggest obstacle to happiness? That's on page 85. What's the fastest route to feeling happier? Check page 124. If you're looking for a manual for happiness, this is it. The book is Happy This Year, The Secret to Getting Happy Once and for All by Will Bowen. In this inspiring and practical book, you'll find proven real-world steps you can incorporate into your life to experience more joy in everything you do. This is the manual for happiness. In fact, the Dale Carnegie Institute of Asia selected Happy This Year as the textbook for classes on how to become a happier person. If you're serious about being happy, get Happy This Year, The Secret to Getting Happy Once and for All by Will Bowen. Available from Grand Harbor Press in hardback, ebook, and audiobook format read by the author. Your destiny is to be happy. Don't wait to be happy someday. Get happy this year. The following musical selection has been cited by the Citizens for Sourness Committee for its wanton inclusion of happiness-inducing material. Listeners under the age of 18, not currently accompanied by an adult, are advised to crank this sucker up.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy.
Okay, so I know you've heard this song a million times, but what I want to ask you is, how does it make you feel when you hear the song? How do you feel? I mean, don't you feel happier when you hear this song? There are certain songs that just give us a feeling of happiness.
And in this episode of the Namaste Lounge, we're going to be talking about the songs that are anthems, songs that make us feel good, songs that inspire us. I can remember years ago reading an essay or an interview, actually, with Gene Simmons, the founder and bass player of the band Kiss. And he said the thing that turned their band around, they had been playing clubs for years, and their manager at the time recommended that they write an anthem. That is something that they stand behind. And they wrote Rock and Roll All Night, Party All Every Day, and it became an anthem. It still endures. It's a very, very popular song. So what is your anthem, and what have you chosen to be your soundtrack for life? Chances are you may or may not have actively done this. Some people do. But what I want to do is encourage you to do that. Before we start talking about songs that make good potential anthems, let's talk about a couple that don't. All right, so we heard Don't Worry, Be Happy by Bobby McFerrin, and we talked about how that made us feel. Now tell me, how does this song make you feel?
You don't bring me flowers. You don't sing me love songs.
You hardly talk to me anymore. When I come through the door at the end of the day,
I remember when you couldn't wait to love me. You used to hate to leave me. Now after loving me late at night,
when it's good for you, you're feeling all right.
Depressing, right? And yet that song sold millions of copies. Why do we listen to songs that bring our energy down and bring our emotional well-being down? Well, we only know that we're alive one of two ways, through joy or through suffering. And a lot of times people will choose suffering. People don't necessarily choose suffering so much as they inherit suffering. They are born into families where suffering and drama are the norms. And so they are drawn to this. And so then when they have a heartache, and we all do, they get their heart broken, then they start listening to these songs that just amplify it. Sometimes, you know what? It's not a bad thing. It can help you purge. You can cry it out. But if months later you're still listening to it, time to move on to something a little bit more upbeat. Here's another song that is not a good example of an anthem, one that's going to fire you up.
And those of us with ravaged faces, lacking in the social graces, desperately remained at home, inventing lovers on the phone, who called to say, come dance with me. It isn't all it seems. It's 17.
That's actually a very beautiful song, and I think it, if you were alive when that song came out, you remember that it helped us to take a different look at some of the less popular girls in school. And yet at the same time, it's written from the perspective of a girl who is very sad because she is that. And so many girls resonated with that. And again, it's okay to resonate with it. The thing is, don't dwell in it. Don't stay in that energy. I've often found it interesting that people will write out what they want in a job, and they will pray for a job, and they'll ask their friends to help them network to get a job, and then they'll get a job, and then they'll complain for the rest of their lives about their job. And this very well could become the anthem for those people.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Woman done left, took the reason that I've been.
Okay, so you see how those songs make you feel? You Don't Bring Me Flowers, and At 17, and even Take This Job and Shove It. They're all kind of negative. They tap into what Eckhart Tolle calls that pain body of ours and keeps us in that feeling. So we should pick songs that are going to make us feel upbeat and inspired. In 1976, an unknown director was allowed the opportunity to produce a film. I say that he was allowed the opportunity to produce a film because he had the caveat that he would star in the movie. And the studio actually went along with this. This person had never done a movie before like this and had certainly never starred in a major motion picture. At that time, 1976, he was awarded $1 million to make this movie, and he made it in 21 days. It has gone on to gross $225 million and has spawned 6 spinoffs. You know the movie, but more importantly, you know the anthem that goes along with the movie. There's one song that has probably been adopted more than any other as an anthem. This is a song that women especially can resonate with, but men as well. And in fact, this song has become such a worldwide anthem that a number of people have written about how this song has been their guiding light to move them through challenges in their life. And a book has been written about it by the song's author, Gloria Gaynor. She and I have the same publisher, and her book is now called We Will Survive, and the song is, of course, I Will Survive.
Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye? You think I crumbled? You think I'd lay down and die? Oh, no, not I. I will survive. Oh, as long as I know how to love, I know I'll be alive. I've got all my life to live. I've got all my love to give. And I'll survive. I will survive. Hey, hey.
So what is your anthem? Do you have a song that you maybe have set as your ringtone to remind you that life is good and things are going to get better and that you're happy and you're blessed? Do you have this set as your alarm clock to wake you up? For many years, I had Internal Heights, not for many years, but for several months, I had Internal Heights by Trevor Hall, because it's a song that just reminds you to maintain your internal heights. Back when I was in sales in the 80s, I used to listen to songs that inspired me and made me feel like I could accomplish things. The Rocky theme song, of course, the sequel, Rocky III, where we got the song by Survivor, The Eye of the Tiger. So what is your theme song? Pick one. Let me give you some more examples of some good ones. Here's one that's by a woman who's very popular right now. And this is a very popular song right now. In fact, you can't go anywhere without hearing this. I remember the first night that I heard this song, I was in a yoga studio in Grand Haven, Michigan. And I heard this song and I went, now that's an anthem. Here's Katy Perry.
Help me down, but I got up. Get ready, because I've had enough. I see it all. I see it now. I got the eye of the tiger. The fire. Dancing through the fire. Because I am a champion. And you're going to hear me roar louder. Louder than a lion. Because I am a champion. And you're going to hear me roar. You're going to hear me roar.
So I'm always searching for songs like this. And last year, I did a search on Google for positive songs, and I found this song. This is by a young woman named Riley Bearderer. It's called Imagine the Impossible, and it has been my ringtone for over a year. Give this one a listen as a possible
when
anthem.
When the night seems long, when the fight's too strong, I don't have to stop, I can carry on. When I see no hope, when I feel alone, I can walk this road because I know I got a faith bigger than my fear. Not gonna quit, I'm gonna persevere. Nothing can stop me now, not gonna hold me down. I got a dream, I'm gonna live it out.
An episode of Family Guy, actually, and Peter, the lead character, was awarded an opportunity to receive one wish, And he chose that he wanted to have a theme song. And so for the next 5 or 10 minutes, everywhere Peter walked, everything he did, this theme song would kick in. And I think that the idea of ascribing an anthem to our lives and deciding what is going to be our theme song is really important, because if we don't choose, others are going to choose it for us. You know, I mentioned before that I used to be in radio, and there is a science to selecting songs. And one of the things we know is that a song that touches emotion is a song that people will tend to listen to. And a lot of times that's sad songs. So if you're not selecting the positive music that you want to listen to, which is also going to dictate and pretty much define your mood, then others are going to. A while back, I was listening to a song, and I thought, wow, that's a really great song. And I noticed I listened to it more and more. For me, that's really how an anthem is built. It's not like I necessarily say I'm looking for an anthem right now, although that has happened. Sometimes I just catch myself listening to a song and listening to a song and listening to a song. Here's one of those songs that I found became an anthem and was a wake-up call for me. It was actually my alarm sound on my phone for quite a while. This is Born Free by Kid Rock.
And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
I was thinking back to when I really got into this idea of having a theme song for myself. And as I said, I sort of stumbled into it. And it was probably in my 20s. I used to listen to this song over and over again. This is by Travis Tritt.
I'm gonna be somebody. One of these days I'm gonna break these chains. I'm gonna be somebody.
Assistant Janine, if she had an anthem, and she said that this song is her anthem. Of course, Janine is a bit of a rocker. This is by Rare Earth. So I don't want you to get the idea that an anthem is necessarily a song that revs you up. It's whatever you want to expand in your life. For example, I know a woman who really wants to maintain serenity in her life. And so this is her anthem. This is called the Mula Mantra, and this is by Diva Pramal.
Shri Bhagavati Samhita, Shri Bhagavate Namah. Om Sat Chit Ananda Parabrahma Purushottama Paramatama. Shri Bhagavati Samhita, Shri Bhagavate.
The next time you hear the national anthem, notice how it makes you feel. And then when you hear songs on the radio, notice how they make you feel. And notice how songs that you listen to repetitively make you feel. And more importantly, which songs are you listening to most often? Begin to choose songs that make you feel happier, that make you feel more positive, that make you feel like you can do it, that make you feel like you're a hero and not a victim. A hero and not a victim. That's the story we want to tell. And our songs, our anthems, are the soundtracks for our lives. Thanks for being with me. Join me next week. My guests are going to be Patty Stark, who is featured in my new book, Happy Stories, as well as Peter Mayer, a wonderful spiritual singer and songwriter. His song, Holy Now, is one of the most beautiful songs that I've ever heard. Be sure and connect with us on Facebook at Will Bowen and Twitter at WR Bowen. And be sure and save the date, September 21st, 2056. That is the date that world peace starts. Yep, September 21st, 2056. All you've got to do is believe it. Just believe. If enough of us believe it, it will happen. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Have a great week. Namaste. Well, now we are